We live, we love, we serve. We live, we love, we serve. Amen. I want to look at just two verses, and I'll kind of tell the story a little bit today, and I'll get out of your way. Let's thank God for our worship team, as always. Joshua 8, verses 1 and 2. I'm reading in the Message Bible, Joshua 8. Simple, simple words. Joshua 8, 1 and 2. And hopefully today this sermon will speak to someone. And you'll see in a minute why. Joshua 8, 1 and 2. God said to Joshua, "Don't be timid and don't so much as hesitate. Take all your soldiers with you and go back to Ai. I have turned the king of Ai over to you, his people, his city, and his land. Do to Ai and its king what you did to Jericho and its king. Only this time you may plunder its stuff and cattle to your heart's content. Send an ambush behind the city." I'll stop there. Come on, beloved, let's pray. God, we thank you today. We thank you today, oh God. God, there are times we cry out to you in distress. And then, oh God, in the midst of that, we sometimes forget to just thank you for the good things you bring our way. God, you've done so many amazing things in our lives. How can we not be grateful? God, you brought us joy and you brought us peace. Most of all, you brought us love. And for that, we say thank you. Now, oh God, do whatever you need to do to get the glory in this moment. Let your word do its own work, and we will get out of the way and let you be God all by yourself. We love you, Lord. We honor you, God. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Remain standing. I want to read those verses again. Joshua 8, 1 and 2. God said to Joshua, "Don't be timid. And don't so much as hesitate. Take all your soldiers with you and go back to Ai. I have turned the king of Ai, rather, over to you, his people, his city, and his land. Do to Ai and its king what you did to Jericho and its king. Only this time you may plunder its stuff and cattle to your heart's content. Send an ambush behind the city." Amen. Do me a favor, look at your neighbor and tell him, "Neighbor, your next victory is on the way." Come on, turn to somebody else and tell a neighbor, "Your next victory is on the way." Now put your hand together and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Your next victory is on the way. I'm going to let you sit with that a little bit. Your next victory. Somebody needs to know that. It's on the way. Something about hearing that ignites us a little bit, doesn't it? Especially those of us who may feel like we haven't had a victory in a while. Feeling and knowing and hearing that your next victory is on the way makes you feel good. It makes you even lean into God, especially again if you are in a season where it seems like victories are few and far between. I like the idea when you look at the opening verse of this chapter, because God tells Joshua, "Get your people together. Go to Ai and don't hesitate. Don't flinch. Don't shrink back. Go forward." And here's the promise: "I've already delivered Ai to you." This is a powerful thing. Because in some ways, how could you not move in confidence when God gives you a guarantee of victory? Before you enter the battle, before you lift one hand, God has already said you are victorious. And why would you hesitate? Why would you flinch? Well, if you're honest today, there are a whole lot of us who, in spite of our connection to God and our relationship and the guarantee of God's presence and favor, sometimes we hesitate. Sometimes we flinch. Not for the idea of the next victory, but moving into the space of the next victory can be challenging, can it not? You can hear God give you a guarantee of victory, but then to move and act victoriously is something different. That means that even with God's promise of victory, you must act victorious as you enter the space where the victory will happen. That's part of the requirement for you. That's part of the responsibility of being a victorious person. You can't just say, God, I want a victory, but not act victoriously. You can't say, God, I want a breakthrough, but not act like you're grateful. You can't say, God, I need you to do something new, and then hesitate in the newness of what God is doing in your life. I got one for you. It is hard, Alicia, to embrace this guarantee of victory, especially when God's victory for you is at the scene of your last defeat. I need you to hear that today. I need you to process that. What happens when God says, go, I got you. Don't hesitate. Don't flinch. I've already delivered it to you. But here's the catch. You got to go back to the place of your last loss to get your next victory. Oh, man, you got to let that sit in a little bit. Because again, you love the idea of being victorious. But what if the requirement is to go to the place that harbors bad memories and bad moments and defeat and loss? That means to go into the favor season means going back to a place that was painful and hard. Yeah, see, I knew you liked the victory. But when God says, by the way, your next victory is at the place you took your last L, go back. This is what God told Joshua. See, when you read chapter 8, it reads beautifully. I hope you read it when you get a chance today. Read chapter 8. But man, chapter 7 and 6 were problematic. You got to hear this part. This story is amazing. You see, Israel had just come from being victorious over Jericho. You know that story, how they had to march around Jericho 7 times, and they shouted as they marched around, and it said the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. They got the victory and didn't have to lift a hand, just had to move their feet. Boy, I wish I had time this morning. When God says, not only, well, let me pause and just add this parenthetically. When God says your next victory is in your feet, you got to move from where you are, and you got to shift your location to experience this next victory. That's what he tells Israel. March around 7 times. They march around and they shout as they're marching, and the walls come tumbling down. And that was their first victory in the promised land in Canaan. They defeated the people, the city, the army of Jericho. And after that, you can imagine the high that Joshua and the people are riding. They entered the promised land and they had a mighty victory when they went into the promised land. And now this is the second battle that's about to take place against this small nation state of about 12,000 people. And they must now do battle with I. But here's the problem. They send spies. Joshua sends spies to I to see what it's like. Here's the problem. Watch this. The spies come back and they say, well, hold on. They small over there. Their army is rather small. We don't need all of our people to go deal with that army. They tell Joshua, we just need about 3,000 folk to go and we'll take care of that city. They get the 3,000 soldiers. They go to Ai. They do battle. And that little army tore them to pieces. 36 people died from Israel's army, and they went back and told Joshua, hanging their heads in defeat. And Joshua begins to tear his clothes and goes into mourning because he can't believe that somehow under his leadership, ordained by God, he had a defeat. You got to hear that again. Under his leadership, ordained by God, he was picked by God and still had a defeat in his second battle. Right now, he's 50-50. Ordained by God, picked by God to lead God's people, and went into a battle and got beat with God on their side. Oh, you got to hear this today. You got to see this, because, well, let me add some pieces to it. Sometimes what I've discovered, victory can be dangerous. Because victory, if you're not careful and you're not guarded with your emotions, can give birth to arrogance and conceit. That you begin to think the next space of confrontation easy because you went through the first space. Because you were victorious last time, you make the assumption you'll be victorious this time. But you stop putting into practice the things that got you the first victory because you're making assumptions about the next fight. Man, you got to get this. And so you make these assumptions about the next fight based on the past victory. It gives birth to arrogance, conceit, and then you don't wonder. Well, you try to wonder why you lost. It's because you overestimated your participation in the last victory. You got the victory not on your own, but with God. Out of obedience, out of trust, out of faith. And all of a sudden, you start getting comfortable in your victorious season. And when the next battle comes up, you don't enable the same things you did that helped you guarantee the victory last time. You start leaning into yourself a little bit more and forgot, I got that victory because of God's presence. That's one. But hold on, let me tell you the other part why they lost. This is tough. So get ready. God said, you lost to I, the little nation, because out of the hundreds of thousands of people in your crew, one person disobeyed me. One person, I hope you get this today, that one person stopped Israel from being victorious against I. With all the hundreds of thousands of people, almost a million they got, one person messed it up. His name was Achan. It said that when they defeated Jericho, God gave strict rule in the last battle, don't touch none of their stuff. Don't touch nothing in Jericho. The victory is all you need. I got more for you. Wait a minute. You got to hear that part. I have more for you. You don't need to put your hands on this. It's there. It's available, but I got more. Gosh, that's a sermon in of itself. It's there. It's available, but don't touch it because I got better. Okay, you didn't get that. It's there. It's accessible, but don't go near it because I got better. I got better, so don't touch what's in front of you. And even though what's in front of you is what you've never seen before, trust that I got better. Oh, gosh, man. You ever try to take up permanent residence at a pit stop? You ever try that? You ain't supposed to stay here long, but you stay around too long because you start to like the pit stop.
But it ain't the place of location. Oh gosh, I'm trying to get this through. You can't walk away from what you see, because what you see is what you've never had. But in order to walk away from what you see and what you see is what you've never had, you got to trust that God got more. And some of us have handled things that we shouldn't have handled because we didn't trust that God had more on the other side. Come on, I need my honest folk in here today who can say, there were times I made moves and God did not say move. There were times I took hold of things that I should not have put myself into because it wasn't my time. I inserted myself in spaces I didn't belong in because I didn't trust that God got more for me. But when you know that God has more for you, you don't mind how long you got to walk around empty-handed, because you know in the fullness of time what God has will appear. Oh my God, do I got any folk in here who waiting for that moment right now that you've learned to move away from the things that God does not want you to have, and you're in that space where you're waiting for God to do what God promised? I wish I had somebody in here. And in that moment, God is fortifying you to let you know it may not be here now, but you better believe it's on the way, because my word is true. Look at somebody and tell them, keep on, just hold on, hold on, hold on. Just another second. Oh, God, another second. How many moments have you missed because you didn't wait one more second? How many opportunities did you miss because you didn't wait one more second, one more second? God's saying, wait, 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 I'm moving. He said, somebody in the people took stuff at Jericho, and I couldn't give you a victory because I needed you to feel the reality that one disobedient people in your camp, one disobedient person in your crew can mess up a whole lot of stuff. That's why you gotta check who's in your circle. Everybody don't belong in your circle. You got to do a trust check, or you miss that. You got to ask everybody, do y'all really trust God? Do you really know how to wait on God to move? You don't want folk in your crew who don't know how to be patient with their breakthrough when God begins. You got to check some folk who are around you. Why? Well, look at the story. God said, wait, I couldn't give you the victory because somebody in your crew didn't listen to me. Somebody around you didn't trust me. And I'm going to hold you back because they're holding you up. Oh, God. No, no, no. I'm going to hold you back because they're holding you up. Let that sit in. That's why you got to check who's in your circle. Here. I'm gonna come back to that. Wait, watch this for a second. God tells Joshua, go ahead and get Achan. Now, this is gonna be rough. I'm gonna tell you it's rough, but you'll see why. They get Achan. Joshua asks Achan, man, what'd you do? He said, man, I saw some of that gold, and I saw them shekels just sitting there, and some of that stuff was nice. And I was like, they ain't gonna miss this. Rash, so he put it and took some of the stuff on the low, buried it in the ground in his tent. He thought it was all good. Can you imagine the danger? I don't have time. I promise I don't have time. But the danger of burying things that don't belong to you. I'm going to leave that alone. Joshua said, where is it? And Achan went back and got it. But here's the hard part. It said, all the people gathered and stoned Achan, his whole family. And after they stoned him to death, they burned him so that there was no remnant that they were ever present. You're going to get this.
It sounds harsh, and I hope you take this the right way. But everybody ain't meant to be with you for the whole journey. I hope you can hear this. I know some part of Joshua had to want everybody to make it. He's the leader. I know how it feels. You just want everybody to do good. You want everybody to be well. But the truth is, everybody, Dr. Green, can't make it. And here's the problem, and I shared this a little bit in LA yesterday. The problem is, you don't mind the folk who can't make it that you don't like. But what happens when the folk who can't make it, you like? Or they've been around for a long time. And you thought the longevity of their presence meant their presence was eternal. No, you didn't realize that even for the people sometimes you like, there's an expiration day for the relationship. Oh God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You want everybody to come. But everybody ain't meant to be there. I know it's hard. It's a bitter pill to swallow because, well, everybody who's around you may not be willing to participate in where you're going. Okay, I didn't hit it right. Let me try it again. Everybody around you are not as invested in your well-being as you are. Okay, let me try it over here. Let me try it here. When are you going to get tired of surrounding yourself with selfish people? When are you going to get tired of that? When are you going to get tired of surrounding yourself with folk who actually use you as a small bit role in their life? And they not thinking about you. And here's the thing. Sometimes the selfishness is infectious and toxic. When you gonna get tired of it? When you gonna get tired of the folk draining you around you? When you gonna get tired of people depleting you? When you gonna get tired of people using you? When you gonna get tired of folk not seeing you? When you gonna get tired? And here's the thing, they knew you for a long time, but they missed you most of it. Oh, you didn't catch that. Because they were present don't mean they were present. Oh, you didn't catch that. You might have been around for a long time, but you miss me. Oh, come on. You ain't get that yet? You got to tell some folk. I know we've been cool for a long time, but I can tell you weren't invested in who I am. Why? Because you missed the evolution of me. You missed the transformation of me. You missed what God was doing. If you were invested, you would have known that I ain't the same person you knew last time. God is doing something different. Why did you miss me when God saw me all the time? Oh, God. And here's where it gets tough. You got to tell some of those folk. It's been good, but it's a new season. It's a new day. God is up to something new, and I ain't gonna let you make me miss what God got for me. Is there anybody in here today who can testify that I desire what God has for me so bad that I don't mind severing ties with people who are holding me back from getting what God has? And you ain't got to say much when you see him coming. I like you, but you ain't good for me.
In fact, I love you, but you ain't good for me. And although it pains me to sever the ties, it'll hurt me more to hang on to you when your season is over. Joshua said, okay, God. He got rid of Achan and everybody. And he sat there mourning, feeling sorry for himself. How could I let this happen? Have you ever done that? Where you beat yourself up because of your mistake. You missed it. I've been there. Have you? Where you beat yourself up because of something you did wrong. It's deep how at times we linger in places we built. Well, no, let me change that sentence. It's amazing how we linger in places that our guilt built. Because guilt will make you build monuments of nothingness. Guilt will allow you to submit yourself to emotional manipulation because of guilt. Guilt will have you behaving strange because you feel like you'll never be good with God. God didn't give you that. If you in here today and you've been beating yourself up with guilt for something you've done, let it go. Because remember, guilt, when it finds a resting place, keeps you at a distance from what God wants to do in your life. And you can't be the one who holds on to it. No, God has not given you that. God has given you power and love and a sound mind. Joshua was sitting there feeling sorry for himself. Although he had eliminated the problem, the memory of the mistake lingered. Oh gosh. He had eliminated the problem. He got rid of the toxic person. But the memory of the mistake lingered. How does God deal with you when the memory of the mistake won't leave you? How does God handle you? Well, Joshua 8:1. Get up. Go back. This time you'll win. Because you're lighter than before. You're one person lighter, but the nation will be blessed. Wait a minute, hold on. I'm trying to finish this. You mean to tell me that just eliminating that one can lighten everything up in my life? Wait a minute. I got to talk to some folk in here today. You ever see or didn't realize until the elimination of that one that the scales were tipped so against you because of that one person? And all of a sudden, when that one person was eliminated, everything in your life started shifting. You thought it was good until they were gone. Oh gosh, you didn't see that. And then when they were gone, you realized there was better. Okay, that ain't gold. Let me try this. What I've discovered is that sometimes God will let you see the better before the bad is gone. That's what God said, Joshua, get up, bro. I can't let you sit here feeling sorry for yourself. This assignment is bigger than you. You got a people to lead. You can't be sitting here feeling sorry for yourself because you made a mistake. We all do. But what I have for you is bigger than your mistake. You missed it. You didn't see it. And it happens to all of us, but I got work for you. Mean the way God handles when we want to sit in our guilt is to give us a new assignment. And not just any old assignment. He tells Joshua, go back to the place of defeat and you will have your next victory. Oh God, you don't get that? Let me pause for a second, then I'll be done. Joshua hears God, and in that verse 2, he said, ambush the city. Look at the ambush. Look at the ambush. And this is beautiful. Joshua now this time says, I'm going to take 30,000, not three, 30,000 soldiers to go. We're going to deal with this. And here's the plan. Here's the plan. He said, not all of us will go to Ai. What the people in Ai don't know is that the majority of the soldiers have already gone around the backside of Ai, Alicia. Watch this. So that when Joshua and the few ran into Ai, the people in Ai made the assumption, oh, you see what just happened, it reverses now. They made the assumption that because they beat them last time, they can beat them again. You see how I just shifted? Watch this. And so now when Joshua leads the people into Ai sees how few the people are, and they chase the Israelites. And watch what the scripture says, that everybody in Ai left and left the entire village and station unprotected. Watch this. They ran out chasing and didn't know they were being set up for an ambush. Oh God, wait a minute. You mean sometimes God will let your enemy feel like they winning? Will have the appearance like they winning? And then make the assumption about their victory without even knowing that they being set up because of the arrogance of their last win? Oh God, you gotta see this. Hold on. You mean that when they went chasing Israel, they thought that what they saw was all there was? Oh gosh, you didn't get that, did you? When they chased Israel, they thought that what they saw was all there was. Okay, I'm going to say it again. Y'all missing some stuff today. When they chased them out of Ai, they thought that what they saw was all there was. Y'all ain't churchy enough for me. I'm sorry. Let me try and talk to my churchy folk. When they chased them out of Ai, they thought that all they saw was all there was. And that's why the enemy felt so arrogant. You still ain't get it? Yeah. There are going to be times in your life where the enemy will show up. And the enemy will make the assumption that your defeat is going to happen because they think that all they see is all there is. You ain't caught that yet. What they don't realize is that when you see me, I never roll solo. Oh, God. What you don't realize is that everywhere I go, he walks with me. Oh, God. And he talks with me. That I never go anywhere by myself. You may not see the invisible hand of God, but God is all over me with every step I take. And you got to remind your enemy of that sometimes, because your enemies think that God ain't on your side, that you don't have no people in your life. No, I got God on my side. And no matter what evil you wish on my life, you got to tell some folk it won't work. Why? Because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Look at somebody and tell them, you can try, but it won't work. I've seen God move before, and you better be careful when you pick a fight with me, because I belong to God. And if you start with me, you started with God. Tell somebody, tell them, I can go back to the place of my last loss, because it's a new me. Oh gosh. I ain't the same person you saw last time when I was defeated. I'm a new person now. The last time I couldn't speak up for myself, and the last time I didn't know how to look out for myself, and the last time I let you manipulate my mind. But this time, God has worked on me. And so I'm showing up in a brand new way, in a brand new season, with a brand new me. Look at somebody, tell them, neighbor, it's brand new me talking. And I've learned to put my trust in God. I've learned to build my hope on God. Is there anybody in here today who can testify. I'm not only in a new season, it's not only a new day, but I'm a brand new me. I ain't who I was before. God is doing something. Look at your neighbor and tell him God is up to something. And you better be careful, because if you don't know how to celebrate, get out of my pew. Because God is about to do something. If you can't magnify the Lord, move away from me. Because somebody told me that sometimes you got to give God praise like the breakthrough already happened. I ain't there yet, but I'm going to give God praise like I'm already. Is there anybody in here today? Look at your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, your next victory will come in the place of your last defeat. But until the battle is over, I dare you to give God praise right now. I dare you to make a joyful noise. Oh God, tell somebody, I'm giving God praise now because of what's on the way. Oh God, tell somebody else, I'm lifting my hands now because of what's on the way. This is my anticipatory praise. I anticipate what God is about to do. I anticipate the new day that's dawning. I anticipate the new season opening. And I will bless God. What are you trying to say, Pastor? What I'm trying to tell you is that every loss ain't really a loss. Sometimes the loss is a setup for a day you can't imagine. Hold on, wait a minute. Some losses happen to make space for what God is about to do. And here it is. Your unwillingness to let go of what is suggests you don't trust what God is about to do. I'm gonna say it. Do you trust what God is about to do? Do you trust what God is about to do? No. Do you trust what God is about to do? Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. Nor has it even been spoken out of the mouth of anyone. God is about to do something incomparable. I want God to bless me in such a way that I have no reference for it. I want an unreferenceable blessing. And do you trust what God is about to do? Hold on. You're about to enter a season that you prayed for when you didn't think God was listening. I'm gonna say that again. You're about to enter a season that you prayed for when you didn't think God was listening. You're about to enter a season that you cried about, that you longed for, and you didn't think God was listening. And can I tell you this, be honest? That sometimes you wonder if God is listening because of the depth of pain you're suffering. And you feel like how can this good come my way? How would this season appear? God is saying, it's not a loss you're about to experience. I'm making room. I'm making room. Can you imagine when that becomes your model in this season? When you start seeing things fade away, God says, I'm making room. And can I tell somebody else something who you like Joshua was? You sit in there in your guilt and you feel like what you've done is not redeemable. And I know this is real church, Alicia, but I am so glad that with the mistakes we make, God will come when you least expect it and say, you got another chance. Have you ever felt God give you a second chance when you thought you had blown the first one? And all of a sudden, God makes it clear that I have not forgotten you. And maybe this don't move you like it moves me, but I know what it is to feel like you've been forgotten. Then when God says, I haven't forgotten you. I saw you crying when you thought nobody saw you crying. I saw you hurting when you thought no one understood. And all this time you thought I forgot, I've been putting things in alignment. We always say that God protects us from things seen and unseen. But can I tell you, God moves through things seen and unseen. When you don't even realize it, God is moving pieces around you, moving things away from you, bringing things close to you. God is making moves in your life and you don't always see it. But my God, can you honor God when you feel it? When you know. Now I know I'm talking to somebody there today. You are a step away. You hear me? One step away from your new day. And my God, you've been waiting for it. And now you are one. And that step is a step of faith, a step of trust, a step of belief. Because God has not forgotten you. If you're here today, if you're here today, and you know God's promise is real, but you just can't always see the moving pieces, I want you to come down here today.